And it's good to be here in the house of God, and we certainly appreciate that. And I realize and know that several of you may be trying to check the score of your favorite team and see how. And I'm not worried about any of that. But please, please try to hold it down. Like if you are got your hands up, like field goal, you know, and touchdown, and. Oh man, what a deal! All right, if I got it ready, here we go. Here we go. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, if you find the place you're able to stand, let's look there at a passage there tonight. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, verse 19 is our text verse for this evening. And here's what it says. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, we do thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed today. And Lord, we praise you and thank you, knowing thou art God beside thee, there's none else. Thank you, Lord, for having saved souls, changed lives. Help us, Lord, and heal these that we've got that are on our list that are sick. And Lord, thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject on why is heresy allowed? Why heresy is allowed? In other words, a lot of heretics in the world have been since the beginning of time. Preaching one thing and when really and truly the Bible and the Lord and the will of God has another thing to say. In this lesson you're looking at, back in verse number 14, same chapter, doeth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Now we got all them little Southern Baptist faggot-looking, ponytail, bun-wearing men. That's a shame in the sight of God. And he said, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory for her hair is given to her for a covering. Now I want you to see those two passages. A woman ought to have long hair. And I don't know when you're trimming it, how close it ought to be. But when you get to where that they can see your hairline and you're shaving it that close, you're crossing the line. Here's what I can tell you. A man cannot get his cut too close, but a woman can certainly get it too close. And a woman can't get hers too long, but a man can grow his too long. Now, I want you to look in verse 16 because you're going to need it down the road. But if any man seems to be contentious, in other words, if you want to argue about that subject, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, the average Baptist will look at that, especially if their hair is too long or too short, and they'll say, see there, God's not worried about it. It's not what it said. Here's what it says. This in verse 14 and 15 is what God said about the matter. If you want to argue about it, I'm not going to argue with you about what God's already said and what God's already settled. That's what he's talking about. You don't want what God said? We're not going to sit and argue with you about some plain scripture that's given in the Bible. Now, verse 17, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better but for the worse. First of all, when you come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And then he said, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. All right, we're preaching on why heresy is allowed. Somebody said, well, you know, it'd been a lot easier if God didn't allow anybody to have heresy. He wants to see what you're going to do. He wants to see the direction you're going. He wants to see if you believe a lie and to be down and receive not the love of the truth. Yes. See, God, in his infinite mercy, no doubt can snatch us as a brand from the burning, but you'll never have your heart right and your mind right until you come to know him in the free pardon of sin. Over there, the Bible said that we've read and been preaching here a while back. You know, people are prone to hear pretty much whatever they want to and do pretty much whatever they want to. I want to say to you that when you look into it, Isaiah 59:14, don't turn there. The Bible said truth is fallen in the streets and equity cannot enter. Let me say to you, we live in a day and an hour, lying preachers are on every corner. They're a dime a dozen. But let me say to you that if you will please, is that what's worse than that is that over in Jeremiah chapter 5, we read the other day and preached a lick or two on that, said, my people love to have it so. See, we live in a world that's not interested in truth. They're just interested in how, somehow or another, being able to get along, do what they want to do, when they want to do it, if they want to do it, and look the way they want to while they're doing it. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that, in other words, man easily accepts heresies up and down the road of life. I was thinking about in the lesson that you're looking at that you know the number one reason why men and women go to hell? I'll tell you why, is because of the fact they accepted a heresy that made them feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. That's what psychology does. In the lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that when you preach the word of the Lord, it lays a demand at the heart's door. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Is that it's God's way or you're on the highway that leads to hell. It's that simple. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that the Bible said is that there were those that died and went to hell. 2 Thessalonians, the Bible said over in chapter 2 and verse number 10, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, the only thing that'll make you and I free is the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, and by the blessed word of the Lord. Number one is, there are those in that day that denied the resurrection. Let me say to you, there was a lot of people that would trust in the Lord, and somebody would come along and say, I guess you know there ain't no resurrection. They've been teaching you about a resurrection. And you know, we live in a world like that that doesn't believe in the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got to say to you that when you look there, you'll find, and you don't have to turn there, but in John 5 and about verse number 29, he mentions two resurrections, and you're going to be in one of them. One of them, the resurrection of life, and the other's resurrection of damnation. Make no mistake about it, all that are in the graves one day will hear his voice, and some are going to come forth to everlasting life and some to everlasting damnation. You'll be in one of these resurrections or the other. Let me say to you, second of all is, you'll find that we live in a world that somehow or another, they're despisers of that which is right. Did you ever notice, and I mean even, I'm talking about, I got kin folks, I've got acquaintances, I know some people that absolutely they love that which is evil and they hate that which is good. Now, you know the reason being, don't you? Because when you live right, walk right, talk right, and spit wine, it shows them there's a difference between being religious and being made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that I'm glad to know that not only do I know him in the free pardon of sin, I don't want to be like Psalm 52:3 when he said, thou lovest evil more than good. And boy, what a sad commentary that would be, one day to stand before the Lord. You know, over in the book of Micah, there's a passage, and if you'd like to turn to there, I'm going to read you three or four of them, but it's in the book of Micah, chapter number 3, and he talked about those that hate good and those that loved evil. And so in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, Micah chapter number 3 and verse number 1, and I said, here I pray you over the heads of Jacob, ye princes of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know judgment? In other words, the people that were leaders that ought to know what's right and wrong, what is God's word and what isn't God's word, those people that ought to know judgment, he asks them and puts them on the spot. He says, now, you ought to know judgment who hate good and love evil, but you don't. Your mind's messed up. You hate good and love evil. You got it backwards. Who pluck off their skin from them and with their flesh of their bone. Who also eat the flesh of my people. They flay their skin from off them. They break their bones. They chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the caldron. And then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. And he will even hide his face from them at that time and as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Now I want to say to you that when you begin to look into that, you've got to realize that, oh, if you're going to love good and hate evil, you're going to have to find out what that's defined as by the word of the Lord and by God himself. Do you realize that, oh, that Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, not only for my sins and your sin, but the sins of the world? And let me tell you, there ought to be some compassion, and there ought to be concern, and there ought to be undergirding of one another in prayer. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to lie and cut up about you and make fun at your weakest points. but it means you ought not to take yourself too serious. I guarantee you right now, I've been ribbing Brother Rocky all these years about standing up there and going to sleep while we were praying. And we done it, he done it. We all witnesses of that. I wouldn't take for it. Every now and again when I need a laugh, it's funny. I can't tell you how hard I've ridden Brother Nolan down through the years. And all that business there. I remember when some of you had that I'm in shock look that he would even say anything like that. You and I may not be as good of friends as Brother Nolan and myself. See? Whatever I say to him, I say in jest, and I'm not telling you it's right, or I'm not telling you it's always right. I'm just trying to tell you that I don't have an evil motive in mind with it whatsoever. And besides that, he acts like he's eating it up. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that the Bible teaches us that if we're in love with the world, the love of the Father's not in us. You know the Bible said over in the book of John, chapter number 3, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They don't want to come to the light unless the word of the Lord reproves them and they have to get it right and straightened up. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That doesn't mean that there's not some things that we can do. I'm already thinking about next year deer season. I'm already thinking about this year's spawn. I'm already thinking about this year's noodling, trot line. But that ain't all I think about. I got to say to you that if you will, we're not talking about things like that. But if you love this world and world system, and it's got more of you than God does, something's wrong in your heart. See what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson, the Bible says, number 3, be ye doers of the word. Now here's the word right here in our hands. It's the Bible. James chapter 1 verse 22 said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, if a man hears the word of the Lord and he's not a doer of it, then it ain't long until he goes down the road of lying. And he's just busy about his own imagination and whatever buzzes his soul the most. You know, preaching is still priority with the Lord. That's the reason why over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 is that God said that, where was it, about verse 18, is that the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us which are saved. Now, if you've got a perverted Bible, it said to us which are being saved. I'm not being saved, honey. I'm saved. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. I got to tell you right now is that in the day and hour we're looking at, you'll find preaching not only still priority, but it always will be. And it has been, it is right now, and it will be tomorrow. Now, man's priority is play. I'm not against playing. I like to play a little. Hence the Super Bowl tonight. They don't tell you how many thousands and thousands and how many millions of dollars is being bet on those games. And of course, I don't have to worry about it except, you know, by the way, on the telephone, finding out what the score is and this and that if I decide I wanted to. But make no mistake about it. Man's priority is everything that's contrary to God. They don't tell you how many Christians that are sitting out there are professed Christians that claim to know God. And well, you know, it's just once a year, you know, and I miss the house of God, be able to get down here to this fine stadium out here in Arizona with a lunatic for a governor. It's one of the signs the Bible gives of the last days when in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 4 when he said men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, I was watching every now and again, back whenever, you know, some channels, you can get a game on. And I was sitting there watching one of those games, way back, I can't remember who it was, it doesn't really make any difference anyhow. And I settled there on it, and it was snowing. Anybody that's playing out there, they didn't have a dome, you know, closed in. And they was out there playing in the snow. Snow on them, snow on their beards, and on their helmets, and sliding, and on the ground and everywhere, and I looked at, and that place was packed. I mean, it was packed out. And when I looked at that, I thought, if there was a preacher that wanted to have a revival in a stadium like that, thinking, you ain't lost your ever loving mind. We're not coming out in this. See that? Men love pleasure more than the things of God. We live in a world that's like that. And let me say to you that, if you will, that salvation and service unto God will be according to the blessed word of the Lord. Now, I want you to look in your Bible, if you will, please, to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. We'll turn there just real quickly. We looked at chapter 11. We're going to look in chapter 14 in just in a moment. This week, while they were unloading Brother Eddie's house and getting it set up and all that business there, and Brother Sam, thank God he's made it back in safely. You know, every time he goes out, we try to pray, and I appreciate you praying. Couple of officers that had been killed, had it not been for the grace of God, could have been him, but in another area. Anyhow, I was thinking, and of course, you know, we were trying to figure out exactly where he wanted that and how he wanted it lined up, and he left instruction, and I said, well, Miss April, you're in charge. He ain't here. You tell me when it's good enough. See? And all that. We'll do the best we can, but we got it pretty much right. But anyhow, whenever they drove up with it, and here comes, man, he's about an axe, a handle and a half broad across the shoulder. And just an old boy, you know, just a poor old cornbread-fed country boy. And he come walking up, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. I feel with the Holy Ghost of God. Now, stay with me. You're going to need this one of these days pretty soon. I just want you to know that I'm filled up with the Holy Ghost of God. I've got holiness. I've been talking in tongues and this and that and blah, blah, and blah, and all that junk. And so I said, well, good for you. Good for you, and let's let it go. Then he goes in, cries, call to these two boys and start a scripture. I wanted them, you know, give me a scripture, boys. And, of course, you know, his whole mind, whole life. If you take away the book of Acts from a holiness, they've got no doctrine at all. And so I finally talked to him, and he said, have y'all got a Holy Ghost-filled church? I said, yes, we do. I gave him a tract, invited him to come. I said, oh, yes, we do. And he said, you talk tongues and all of that. I said, well, now, hang on a minute. If you talk in tongues in your church, if it's a biblical thing, the women can't talk. He had the most dejected look, the same look I had when I found out Santa Claus wasn't real. They don't want to talk then, see, too much. And I said to him, he said, you know, some people think, I said, I don't care what some people think, that's the word of the Lord. Biblical service and worship is according to the word of the Lord. See? And the Bible said that those women were not permitted to speak, and that's the subject that was at hand in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to look at it. Verse number 33 we'll take up reading. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as thus saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, that they are the commandments of the Lord. Now, that pretty much knocks all that in the head. I didn't say it to be able to get done with it, because let me say to you, is that he said, well, I just been that are y'all baptized in the name of Jesus? I said, well, yeah, is there any other name? And, of course, I said, well, what you're talking about is that Jesus' name only. That's what they are, see. Now look in your Bible, do not lose the thought of your text here, but in the book of Matthew chapter 28. I don't like it whenever I'm having to deal with these kind of things up and down the road of life, and the reason being is because we've all of us got some family or friends that are connected with some of this stuff. I don't like preaching on things that exposes Catholicism, Campbellitism, or any of these other isms that are up and down the road. But notice that, if you will, that here's what Jesus said. And it came to pass, Matthew 28, verse 18. And it came to pass that and he spake unto them, saying, this is Jesus. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now this is what Jesus said. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that's what Jesus said. Now can you improve upon what Jesus said? They think they can. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, make no mistake about it, that's reading over in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and about verse number 11 and 12. He says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, so forth and on. Let me tell you, in this lesson that you're looking at, is that in the book of St. John, in the book of St. John chapter 16, I'll give you something right there. In the book of John, St. John chapter 16, in verse number 13 is what we're going to be looking at. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his disciples that he's going to be leaving them, but I'm going to send you another comforter and he's going to come to you and remain abide with you. In verse 13, here's what he says. Howbeit when he, not it, but he, that's the Holy Spirit of God. Now howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself. You'd never hear the Holy Ghost of God walk up and say, I'm the Holy Ghost. You'd never see that. You'll never hear that. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. In 1908, there was a woman by the name of Agnes Osmond in Topeka, Kansas. Oh, Agnes, she was in the holiness movement, and she got to where she is praying and begging God and praying. She said she finally talked in tongues in several different languages. Now, nobody ever heard it. Nobody ever probably saw it. But let me say to you, that's where in the United States of America that the holiness movement really got kicked off, and the Hundala Shundala Shamala Botai Eni Mini Mani Moses got a Honda thing started. I didn't learn that in just 1 minute. But boy, after I did, I felt like touchdown, buddy. I said all that just to be able to say this. It's a woman's movement. Forbid the women to speak in the church, and the tongue movement will vanish from the face of this earth. I told him that in essence. I got to say to you that I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be born into the family of God. And if you want to be contentious about what God's said, help yourself. Help yourself. You know what's wrong with many of us? We try to witness somebody or we try to do something for somebody, and it's sort of like a couple that's had a falling out over Christmas. It ain't enough that a spouse has bought the other one a Christmas present. But they want them to feel about it just like they did. You don't like it or something? Well, it's all right. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, it's fine. Huh? I mean, it makes you a pie. Tell me what's wrong with it. Well, it ain't like mama to me. By the way, and I don't want to get sidetracked because we're done. But if you haven't found one of those Marie Callender peach cobblers that they've got at Walmart, let me tell you, it's going to be close to what Mama did. Oh, yeah. You heat a little of that up with a little bluebell on it, revival will break out in your mouth. I mean, that's just the way it is. You say, I don't like that. Okay, well, knock yourself out. I don't care. Why is heresy allowed? I'll tell you why. To see what you're going to do. To see what you're going to do with it. That's why. And every now and again when somebody comes along, their mind's already made up, they want to be confused with a bunch of facts, that does not exempt you and I from knowing some facts. But if they don't want to be confused with a bunch of facts and they want to keep on in error just like they are, knock yourself out. We're not going to argue with you 5 minutes about it. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. All right, let's stand to our feet. Miss Debbie, you want to come on up here? We're going to shake hands with you on your way out tonight. Are you late for an appointment? You're not? Well, come on up here then. Let's just go ahead and knock it on out right here. We're going to sing a song. Miss Debbie's going to come up here. We're going to reinstate her. And then we're going to dismiss, find out what the score is. I don't even know who's playing, but whoever it is, one of them's got to be ahead. What number is it?
368.
We're going to get ready to let them play that as we march around, shake hands with her. Now, Miss Debbie was a member of this church years ago. Then she left and went to Beaumont. Now she's back. Got a granddaughter in here. I talked to her about it this morning. Asked her, I said, you never did move it nowhere else, did you?
No,
I mean, my word, once you get here, why would you want to go anywhere else? All right, let me see the pleasure then of this church here. Does anybody know of any reason why she ought not to be reinstated in full fellowship of the church? No, you don't. All right, I don't either. Then if you're rejoicing with me, raise your hands and shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. All right, let's get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. They're going to be playing what number?
368.
But you come around, shake her hand, and...